The other part of your question, and appreciate the call, this is a big college football fan, and Isaiah Hodgins kind of tore up his Cal Bears back in the day. Like, I never know what to do with this. You know, like, we watch someone in college and we get excited about them, and no different than NFL teams in the draft. Like, it may work in the pros, it may not. It may work in the pros in some systems. It may not work in other systems. So, yeah, I'm well aware of who Isaiah Hodgins is, but is he ready to come, as he put it, fill in for Juwan Jennings? Absolutely not. Like, this is, it's a young player. They had him in camp. If they thought that he had the ability to go do that right out of the gate week one, then they would have been ready to do that. They wouldn't be out on the street signing veterans all over the place like they are. So, look, I like Isaiah Hodgins too, but no, I do not see that as something that's viable right out of the gate. There's a reason that the guys the Niners keep bringing in are veterans. There's a reason that they're interested in Bourne. There's a reason they went after Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Russell Gage. People who can pick up a system, run with it, roll with it quickly, and get up to speed, because they need these people to be ready in 9 days. So that's why they're just not going to lean on young players right now.
In general, if you look at Kyle Shanahan's tenure with the 49ers, he doesn't like to lean on younger players in the skill position spots. And Brandon Ayuk, rookie year, he had 748 receiving yards, which was one of the best rookie years in the history of the Niners. No Niners ever been over 1,000 yards. Ayuk had 748 yards in 12 games. And you remember, he was in the doghouse early on because he wasn't blocking, or he wasn't doing the things that Shanahan wanted. And he was a rookie. And even at that, it took him a while to get on the field. Ricky Pearsall last year would have had more of an impact had he not been shot right before the start of the season. But in general, I don't think that Shanahan likes to rely on rookies. And even in that Ayuk rookie year, they went 6-10.
Right.
So you go 6-10, fine, you play the rookie. Last year, Jacob Cowing didn't get a lot of playing time. He was a rookie. And this year, you know, Watkins and Hodgins, these are rookies. And even if they get healthy and get into the rotation, you're still going to want to lean on veteran players if you're Shanahan. That's what he does.
Harold Fannin Jr. Harold Fannin Jr.
Okay. What about him?
What about him? What
team? I asked you, what about him?
What team is he on?
I could care less.
First of all, you mean you couldn't care less?
No, I could care less, which means I do care a little bit. So I could actually care less.
Okay.
I care about a 1 on a scale of 0
to 10. You're going to know this now.
So I could care less.
16-team league, you're going to need to know this now.
I may not need to know this now if he's not available. If I can't take him in the second round, maybe somebody's already taken Fannin Jr., Grant.
I'm trying to help you. Harold Fannin Jr. I'm trying to help you out.
What you're trying to do is not help me.
No, I'm not.
You're trying to mock me.
I'm not at all.
And you're trying to make me feel like I don't know as much as you. Yes, Mark, I don't know Harold Fannin Jr.
Right, so then.
I don't know Harold Fannin Sr. I don't know any of the Fannins. I don't know Dakota Fannin.
This is the Dibs mock draft where it's just for mocking.
Exactly. The mock is, you're mocking me.
I'm not playing.
I'm not playing this. We're not doing this.
I want the listeners
Harold Fannin Jr.
to know who these people are. You're the one that started getting off on Bashaul Tootin. You want to know who he is.
I saw the man's name, and I thought that it was kind of a cool name, and so I just threw it out there. Harold Fannin Jr. Tell me about Harold Fannin Jr.
Tight
you
end.
Are nobody, my dude.
Cleveland.
That's right.
Tight end.
Oh, boy.
Cleveland.
Better add him to my my top 300 list.
Deep sleeper.
Been running with the ones?
Yep.
Mm, boy.
David Njoku. Getting old.
Yeah, he is. Boy.
Let's go to Max.
Harold Fannin Jr.'s got an Instagram account. I better follow him.
How many followers does he have?
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Harold Fannin Jr.
Max in Walnut Creek.
Out of here.
Hi, Max. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. I usually text in on the Boxer and Gerson text line, but I felt like calling on this fabulous Friday.
Nice job.
Dibs, you're gonna be able to care less about this call. I apologize in advance. It is going to be a little bit of a slap and tickle. going to be slapping you, tickling my guy Willard. Willard, when you first came to the station a couple years ago, I didn't know what I was going to think, and I really enjoy your take. dibs.
No, God.
You know, I know that you cater to the 11%. You really enjoy rooting for the refs every week. But I just have to disagree, man. It's St. Brown, and sorry, this is late. I was listening on the Odyssey app, so you talked about this a while ago. But St. Brown over Jahmyr Gibbs, that is insane. That's like, you know, that's choosing the wheels of a car instead of the battery. It's somewhat essential. You can get different wheels. The battery is essential to these Teslas these days. The other thing I wanted to say is, in terms of resetting the wide receiver market, it's kind of like grocery prices during COVID. They went up. They never came back down. And I really don't see how the wide receivers are going to start asking for any less. You know, these teams, they can say we're not going to pay you as much, but then the Jaguars are always going to be, oh, we'll give you what you want. I just love you guys. Love the show. I'm going to be catching the Scott Hansen interview on the Odyssey app. And then I did want to say, Dibs, I know you don't like these late congratulations, so I do want to just hit you with a couple more pet peeves. Happy New Year to you.
Get this guy out of
I'll
here.
I'll take the rest of your
run this guy. Yes, and you'll take it off the air. Yeah. Appreciate you listening. Real clever. Well played. Yeah, Happy New Year.
Why? Wait a
freaking
minute.
August 29th.
That guy's yacked in. Why are you coming down his road? He's a P1 and a half. Like,
because he chose to showcase his knowledge by getting under my skin.
No,
that's why.
No, you're triggered.
He went out of his way to do the things that he knows that piss me off.
That means
that was disrespectful.
That means he knows you like a brother.
Well, you can know me like a brother and do something either praiseworthy or something that I would enjoy, like an uptick.
I think he did.
No, he chose to go the other route.
No,
wishing me a happy new year, knowing that that bothers me.
No, you're missing the underlying message.
I got the underlying message.
He's not going to tune into you every day if he doesn't love you. Like, that's kind of like how you treat your friends. Nobody's like fully respectful with their friends. Like, in all these fantasy drafts with my friends, all it is people making fun of each other all day. That's all we're doing. We're just getting after people the whole time. 2 hours of like, yeah, you're an idiot. Like, I mean, that's love, man.
That's love.
That's what it is.
It's not love.
It's
not the kind of. It's not my love language.
Okay.
You doing things on purpose that you know bother me, and that's what you think is love?
It's not.
If that's love, I'd like to see your hate, caller.
But those aren't like, they don't actually bother you. It's not like he drove by you on a scooter on the street. He just said, Happy New Year. Like, it's playful.
Yeah, August 29th.
Exactly.
It's playful.
It's play. Like, it's so
you
absurd.
Might as well be on your phone in front of me with the light turning green. Because I can't honk and flip this guy off. I mean, I could, but it wouldn't actually pay off. And
he's taking his answer. He's off the air.
Yeah.
He wants his answer off the air.
He's not getting an answer. And the whole idea about resetting the receiver market, if you look at the upcoming free agents, none of them are going to reset the market. The biggest name is Mike Evans. And Mike Evans is not.
He's getting up there.
He's 33.
Yeah.
So he's not getting 40 whatever million. You got Christian Kirk. You got Debo. Alan Lazard. Ooh, Dyami Brown.
Yeah, but how many?
Ooh, there's a name.
Oh, we're 2 years away from Brian Thomas Jr. Absolutely.
Right, and that would be Malik Nabers, and that would also be
Malik
Marvin
Neighbors,
Harrison.
Yes.
And
yeah, well, Marvin's going to have to, you know, like, I don't know, go for 1,000 yards once, brother. But, like, yeah, this is it's always going to reset itself.
Potentially.
I think he's absolutely right. And what he's basically saying is there's always a sucker out there. You can't reboot the market unless you collectively, 32 teams, say, we're not doing this. And then that runs the risk of collusion, which is kind of what was already alleged in the offseason with regard to the quarterback market.
Well, the running back market last year.
Even though they did sort of catch red-handed some text messages between Dean Spanos and whoever else, like talking to each other about it, they didn't do enough to prove collusion, or at least not in their eyes. The NFL will never lose a court battle. Ever. They never lose a court battle.
Well, they actually lost to the USFL.
Well, not that kind of stuff.
That was a court battle.
I mean, I'm talking about against players.
Sure.
They're never going to lose.
They lost a court battle, and the USFL was awarded in damages $1.
$1, exactly.
$1.
Yeah, but so they're never going to lose anything that's of a high level with their players. They're always going to be the all-powerful. And until you get all 32 owners to look at this at one time and be like, you know what we realized? We just realized that receivers at this level actually work. They work against us winning. Then yes, it'll keep going. But as fans, I think the way we look at it is to try, at least this is what I try to do, try to be a little bit more open-minded to two things. One, the player asking, but two, the team sometimes saying no or sending out the door somebody that we love because we get emotionally attached. Like the Kansas City Chiefs had won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl with Tyreek Hill. And he's like, great, time for $30 million. And what did the Chiefs do? Get out of here. They Kurt and Hayward Hills the whole thing. And then what'd they do? They won the Super Bowl again. And I don't know if Kansas City fans cried when they're like, how on earth do you let Tyreek Hill go? But they don't miss him now. They don't miss him at all. Because they're winning every year with who knows what. Marquez, Valdez, Scantling, and DeMarcus Robinson, and four games of Rashee Rice.
Sky Moore.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and they're out there still winning Super Bowls. So I think that's all we can do as fans. And so if you're freaking out about Juwan, that's kind of what I would tell you. I think the Niners, if he is asking for north of $20 million, like Tim Kawakami says, I think the Niners are absolutely right to play this the way they're playing.
I think if he's asking for any million, they're right to play it the way they're playing it because at some point, enough has got to be enough. Enough of players in the offseason asking for more money. And if you are irreplaceable, which on the 49ers, I would say there's about four or five guys who are truly irreplaceable, then yeah, they get the money, they get broken off, they get taken care of, but everybody else on that roster, I'm sorry, but you can be replaced.
The Red and Gold Summit, which is irreplaceable, is next Thursday, September 4th. King's Fish House, Westfield Valley Fair in Santa Clara. Dibs and I, live 2 to 4, and then the whole summit, all six hosts, live 4 to 6, and we got some extra special stuff for you this time around, including the Joe Montana and Jerry Rice signed, framed, matted picture that we showed you a short time ago on YouTube. That will be available for victory for someone who is in attendance. Great food. It's a great place to hang out and hang out with us. Thursday, September 4th, King's Fish House Westfield Valley Fair in Santa Clara. Come out and get the season started with a bang and experience the ultimate in shopping, dining, and entertainment at Westfield Valley Fair, your game day destination. Catch all the games this year at King's Fish House, the go-to spot for fans. All right, coming up next, 888-957-9570 is the number. Also, round two of Who Are You? Can somebody dethrone Mark Grandy? Plus, a really interesting question, I think, just popped through on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line that I want to throw at you because I think it can only appropriately be fully answered by you, Dan.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Dan day now.
Well,
you got me running hot, all three of you.
Exactly. You're in trigger mode, so that's what your friends are going to do. They're going to keep poking.
That's what they do.
Anyway, that's all coming up on Willard and Dibs.
Yeah. Okay, Grandy. Yeah. You think that I'm that much of a rube? That was disrespectful, and you're pissing me off a little bit. You are nobody, my dude.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
It's a little more aggressive than I probably intended. I'll be honest. Not to the level of apology, but hearing it back, yeah, you got me, Grandy. Score one for the Grandy, man.
I'm not trying to score anything. Yeah. This is funny.
Grandy's just replaying you talking to a caller.
I was talking to him.
Oh.
Yeah, that was to me.
Correct.
You said this something similar to the guy who called it.
Okay, Grandy. Yeah. It's because the caller, and I was equally perturbed at you, because the caller knew what he was doing.
Jalen Royals.
And he'll never be Royals.
Yeah.
Jalen Royals.
Well, no, actually, you could probably, with your powers of deduction, you could probably get this. Because his last name is literally a clue to where he plays.
Royals. He's on the Kings. Sacramento Kings. Cha-ching!
Damn it, that was close. I thought for sure you...
Good clue, Willard. Oh, he's in Kansas City, the Royals.
Ah, yes! He's a Kansas City Royal.
No.
Oh, it's funny, huh, Lucas? He's a Chiefs.
Yes.
I don't know if Chiefs are Royals.
No, but Kansas City. Kansas City.
The Royals.
Right. The Chiefs.
The Kings. City
Kings are,
No. I get what you did, but that's not so what I was going for.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Weren't the Sacramento Kings in Kansas City, too?
Correct.
Yeah. Yes, they were.
And Kings are Royals. Uh-huh. And I was thinking about Queens, also Royals.
It was a wonderful guess. But not what we
Maybe
were
Maybe he plays
for.
In Queens, but there's no football team in Queens. They play in New Jersey.
Oh, gosh.
Prince is from Minnesota. Maybe he's a Viking.
Friday is so here.
It's so here.
Oh, man. You're going to just have a puddle talking to you at 5 o'clock.
I am nobody, my dude.
You got no
I even
chance.
Hipped you to chocolate cake in the building.
Which did
and
not
And this is
help.
How I get treated?
Okay. You were treated that way prior to the cake.
Fair.
Now I've had the cake. That's why I started giving you clues.
It's a high-quality cake.
It's really good cake.
It's good cake.
So, anyway.
Jalen Royals. I guess that's another guy I need to keep an eye on for the second round.
He's firing up boards.
Nice.
Rashee Rice, suspended. Jalen Royals, wide receiver, Kansas City.
6 games for Rashee Rice.
Yeah. And it didn't sound like it was going to be at the beginning of the year, but it is at the beginning of the year. Snuck that thing in before week one. So, Rashee Rice, 6 games. Which to me does not sound fun to have on your team, but people are still picking the guy. So, whatever.
Yeah. You know. Well, in a league like ours where we only have 5 bench spots, it's a little tougher to, you know, stash a guy for 6 weeks.
No doubt. No doubt. But then again, with 16 teams, he might be your second round pick. So who knows? Anyway, 888-957-9570 is the number. Willard and Dibs. We will play our second edition of Who Are You? Coming up here in just a handful of minutes. We did this on, it was Tuesday, right? Yeah, we did it when we were on remote.
At Splash.
So we did it on Tuesday. It was a ton of fun. We'll do it again today. But I wanted to read this to you on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. And this was kind of fun. You'll be able to answer this. Thank you, 510. For apparently being a longtime listener of 95.7 The Game. And says, I'm not sure what show on your station used to do this, but they basically invited people to ask really stupid, ignorant sports questions. Does this ring a bell to you?
Keep going.
Okay. And then they would answer with little to no, I don't know if this is the word. Anyway, little to no derision, depending on which host was answering. I miss that, and I have a stupid question. Does that ring a bell?
It's not ringing a bell.
Okay, doesn't matter. The second
part of
it is... And
I've been on half of the shows we've ever had here.
Oh, okay. What's that, Lucas?
It was the previous afternoon show, and they used to... We used to do a segment, not so stupid, stupid questions.
There you go.
Okay, well, anyway, he's got a stupid question. So this is the other part of the text. He actually texted in the stupid question, which... I don't know if it's stupid, and I'm a teacher, so I like the whole there's no stupid questions. Like, just answer them, right?
That's my favorite when our boss says that in a meeting, there's no stupid questions, but. Because every time he says there's no stupid questions, the but immediately comes after.
Of course.
Which implies that the question that was asked is actually a stupid question.
Stupid question, okay. Totally. Yeah, so here it is. The question is, and I got to refine the text. Oh. When you guys talk about the wide receiver room or the quarterback room, is there really a room, like an actual room? Have a great weekend.
It's a good question.
That's great.
Anyway, I think it's going to be a good game.
Right.
Is there an actual room? Well, I don't know how you would answer it. My answer would be sort of.
There's a room.
I don't know. I don't think that like a football facility does not have a room that's like this, and like there's a label on the door, you know, quarterback room. However, each group, whether it's the offensive line, right, the linebackers, the DBs, the wide receivers, they do have their own assistant coaches, and they do have their own meetings. Think about a Zoom with your whole company, and then you go into a breakout room. And so there are those. And you know what you could watch if you want to see what it looks like? Watch Hard Knocks. The Lions a couple of years ago were on Hard Knocks. I thought they did a great job of this. This is how we got to know Aaron Glenn, for example, And I think it raised their profile, him and Ben Johnson, and helped them get jobs in the NFL, in addition to their team being really, really good. But you would see the whole, there's the big room where the whole team will meet,
yep.
and then there's the breakout rooms, and those little position groups would go have their own meetings and go through the own things that affect just those players. So that's what it looks like. And if you want to call that a room, yeah, they're in a room. I don't know if it's only their room, but they're in a room.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are designated practices throughout, especially in the camp, where you have the whole group meeting, and then you go into the breakout rooms where the positional groups will meet, and some days it's just the special team room, where if you're a guy who's involved in special teams, you go with the special teams coordinator, and you have that portion of the practice. It's a meeting with the special teams, but you know, it's not, especially with football, you can't just have it be all 53 or all 48 on game day in a room, because each individual has their own individual concerns and their own coaching points. So yeah, when you go to the wide receiver room, you're dealing with the wide receiver coach, and that's Leonard Hankerson this year. And at times you'll have Shanahan, and you'll have the quarterback coach in, or whoever else will come in. And you know, it's not for a huge portion of the practice, but you've got to have the individualized instruction. And it kind of reminds me of the Warriors, where we talk about Steve Kerr and developing young players. Well, each player, I believe, is assigned an assistant coach who works with that individual player outside of the scope of the normal team practice. That's why you always see Q, Bruce Frazier, he gets Steph Curry. So when Steph is going through his pregame paces, it's Bruce Frazier who is out there feeding him the basketball and putting him through the drill, because that's Steph's guy.
Yep. 888-957-9570. You know, the other thing that Tim Kawakami, that I don't think we've mentioned, and we'll do Who Are You here in literally just a couple minutes. One other thing I wanted to bring up about Tim, though, and we can get back to your calls on this, the larger issue in play right now at 888-957-9570. But he mentioned that he thinks that whole, like, deadline spurring action thing is still out there for the 49ers and Juwan, and he mentioned a number of days. This would have been yesterday. He said, I think within the next 4, maybe 5 days, which at the time it was Thursday, kind of makes me think about when Kendrick Bourne is coming in to work out Monday. That would have been 4 days later, maybe by Tuesday. But at that point is when the Niners really launch in. Wednesday, in theory, is actually practice day number one, the way that an NFL week works. Normally, I mean, you're not coming off of a game, so maybe it's a little bit different.
But they got a Monday practice.
Monday, they would normally come in for treatment, and they meet. Tuesday is the day off.
Yep.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is your normal practice week for an NFL week. Friday is a little bit lighter, and then you head to wherever you're heading to get to the game. Because it's week one, yeah, maybe they do a little bit more on Monday. But I think that's kind of what Tim is getting at. Like, Tuesday kind of feels like a deadline. And if you don't have some sort of resolution with Juwan, maybe this moves to a trade. Maybe it moves to a suspension. But something is probably going to happen definitively by Tuesday. That was Tim's guess.
Yeah, and he was mentioning a deadline on Monday the 1st, where if they trade him after the 1st, I think that the dead cap charge that they would face goes away. I'm not sure of all those particulars and the details of the contract, but it still is very possible that they trade him. And honestly, Mark, if we get to Monday and he still is unsigned, I would think that it would be more likely that they trade him than they would just put him on a suspension list. That's my own prediction. If you start talking about a suspension and you're just not going to play him, you're not going to do anything with him, for me, it would be better to just cut ties, trade him, get what you can get, and just move forward.
95.7 The Game, breaking news.
San Francisco Giants have released a medical update, and it is not a good one. After meeting with team orthopedist, a recommendation has been put forward that Randy Rodriguez, Giants closer, undergo Tommy John surgery. A second opinion has agreed, and Randy and the team will move forward accordingly. That is the report that has just come down from the San Francisco Giants. Let me say it another way. Giants just lost their closer for next year, too, pretty much.
Yeah, at least an option at closer. And I think Ryan Walker is pitching now like he could be that guy. But when you've got a young stud throwing 102 and you have another guy who could throw 100 and you trade him because you kind of were thinking maybe you were ready to give up on him and you're giving the keys to the car to Rodriguez and now he's out too, that's a tough one.
Yep, this changes the course of how the Giants will build their bullpen going forward. Let's why don't we go ahead and push Who Are You here to 4:45 coming out of the next segment, because this is interesting to me. This is obviously a move that's kind of blown up in their face. I'm not going to say that the Camilo Doval trade, would you have done it if you had known this? Maybe not. Let's let you know. I don't know how many of you follow everything that's going around all of baseball. Camilo's been horrible since joining the Yankees. Like, objectively,
about seven, right?
Horrible. Yep. Like, they are booing him in New York. Then again, who do they not boo? But you get my point. The Doval thing has been really bad for the Yankees, and so maybe you still would have done that anyway if you're the San Francisco Giants, because they really do like, for instance, the catcher that they got in return. They're excited about him. But the other side to this is the Giants went from starting this year where it felt like they had 2.5 closers. Walker was the closer. Doval was trying to get himself back in shape, and then he became closer ready, and Rodriguez was waiting in the wings, made the All-Star team as a setup guy, but a guy who wasn't throwing on back-to-back days. Then they finally felt he's stretched out, he's ready to go. Let's move on from Doval. Randy, you're the closer. It lasts a handful of weeks, and now gone. Tommy John surgery. Sure, Walker is pitching a little bit better here of late, but do you want to go into next year with him as your closer? I cannot feel like they are all that comfortable on that. And so now all of a sudden, you had what felt like an embarrassment of riches at the back end of your bullpen, and now you're on the search in the offseason for a closer.
Yeah.
Again.
You go from legitimately three possible closers and a very good right-handed setup guy in Tyler Rogers. Yep. And then Doval gone, Rogers gone, Rodriguez hurt, and now you're down to just Ryan Walker going into next year. So, yeah, I don't know what the farm has as far as a hard-throwing closer type of guy, but if you need to go out and get a closer, those are not easy to usually acquire in the open market, because teams that have closers, they like to keep them. And the closers that you can acquire, and I'm thinking about Mark Melancon a number of years ago, where you got Melancon and he was bad, and then he was really pretty good, and then he was gone. But it's really hard to go out there and just find a closer, and now they're going to be in that market.
Yeah, and I actually hate the idea of going out on the market and signing a closer for big money and a lot of years because of this exact fact.
Yeah.
These guys go down quickly. They're throwing 100 miles an hour, and there's too many injuries, and it falls off a cliff. I hope they learn their lesson with Melancon and others. Like, that's something that I really love to see a team almost kind of treat closers the way you do see NFL teams treat running backs, which is bring them up through the system when they're young, cost-controlled and cheap, and then when they're ready for a big free agent deal at age 30, see you later, let them go. I know that that's a little bit of a piece of meat idea, but that's kind of what works historically for the closer position, which is why the Giants looked like they were in such good shape, because they, all those guys are under very cheap team control going forward. Doval as well, but they move on from him.
Yep.
Walker has a wonky year, and now Rodriguez is hurt. But I do not want to see the Giants go out and spend big on a closer this offseason.
Agreed.
At all.
And I just looking at the Randy Rodriguez season, I don't know how they could have seen this coming, because you mentioned back-to-back days. He pitched the 26th of July and the 27th of July. On that second game is when he gave up those two home runs to the Mets and you lost that game. 4 days later, the trade deadline, Doval's gone, and you turn it over to Rodriguez, and he was okay, and then he ended up missing. Yeah, he sat out for 9 days, and then he pitched three more times, gave up hits in each and a couple of runs, and now he got hurt. So unless there was some elbow thing happening before you traded Doval, this to me is just, as Boach would call it, buzzard's luck.
Yeah, no doubt. Like, this
I don't think there was any sign before, is what I'm saying.
And
you know?
I don't think that the Giants necessarily would have handled this any differently again. It's not like, as a Giants fan, you're feeling great if they kept Doval in this situation, because the bottom line is he kind of hit a wall again, and he wasn't pitching well, and he can't control his pitches. Like, some nights it's devastating. Other nights he's all over the place and walking the first two guys every time out there. Too stressful, not what you want as your closer. But you also, obviously, you don't want this. You don't want to be back to square one. And maybe they're not. Maybe that's not a nice way to talk about Ryan Walker. He had some success with the position, but kind of lost that this year. And now it leaves you in this spot. But what the answer is, I don't know. Because you want that person coming up through your system. You do not want to go out and spend big on a 30-year-old in the and do some sort of a multi-year deal at that position. For me, that would be a no.
It would be a definite no. And you mentioned Doval. His ERA is actually now down to 5.79.
Okay,
that's exciting. In 9 innings, he's given up 9 runs, 6 of them earned for the Yankees. Yeah, and he's not been great. And I do wonder about that, though, Mark. If this Rodriguez injury would have happened on June 29th, I do think you would have had to change your tune about Camilo Doval, even though you may want to move off in the offseason, or maybe you moved off of him anyway at the deadline, because Buster got to the deadline, Buster Posey, and they were in sell mode anyway.
Yep.
And you were selling relievers thinking that you had Randy Rodriguez, and you're thinking, okay, we got our Rod, and he could be really, really good for us. So, yeah, we feel comfortable getting rid of Rodgers and Doval and having Rodriguez be our guy in 2026, but not now. He's going to be gone for, you would assume, all of next year.
Or at least most of it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, we sit here. I mean, that's one of those injuries that we tend to just assume is a year. And so by the time he's going to come back, I can't think that that's, you know, even the job that they would give him, even if he was going to come back for the last month or two of the season, that's not a job they're just going to hand over to him. Giants do have some, you know, relievers that are in the top 15 on their prospect list, but I don't know that anybody is. In fact, I'm pretty sure that nobody is major league ready coming out of that group. So it's a tough blow. This is another gut punch after a season that, quite frankly, was full of them. And for anybody who kind of is on the guru wagon of what he was talking about during the crossover, if you're in the I haven't given up yet crowd, I mean, this makes everything that much harder, right? I have no idea how the hell this team won 5 in a row. They don't have their starting pitchers. They don't have their relief pitchers. And they swept the Cubs and took 2 or 3 and almost all 3 in Milwaukee. But how is that going to sustain it? That feels silly, quite frankly. The idea that that would sustain the rest of the year. And what the hell would you do if you did get to the playoffs? I mean, my God. They just, you know, your pitching staff was so good at the start of the year, and now it's been decimated.
And of these last 5 games, you've won it with the one thing we've kind of all been waiting for, which is some power bats and some timely hitting. They walked it off yesterday with a clutch hit from Jung-Hoo Lee. Bottom of the 9th, ducks on the pond, and a Giant actually got a base hit. And it was Jung-Hoo Lee got one into right field, and the run scored, and everybody tore at the poor young man's jersey, and it was a walk-off, and it was exciting. And that's, I think, partly why you were saying what you were saying yesterday about how much you hate this team, because they're doing the things now that we wanted them to be doing in June and July, but they weren't. And now you're doing it when you're 6 games out of the wild card with 28 to go. Like, well, what's the point, guys?
Well, and Adames was sort of insinuating after the game that it just, this group with all of the changes, you had some big-time free agents come in like him. You have Jung-Hoo Lee, who's still doing his first full season as a big leaguer. Then you trade for Devers. He sort of insinuated that maybe it just kind of took till now for everything to gel. And the thing that I think goes through most people's heads when someone says that is, do you really need to gel as a baseball team? It's not like one of you is running routes and the other one needs to be in sync with you. When you're at the plate, you're at the plate. Do you need to be gelling with Rafi Devers for you to hit the ball real far? I get there's clubhouse chemistry. That I understand. Same thing for a pitcher. Is Logan Webb worried about what Jung-Hoo Lee is doing in center field when he throws a slider? Like, you just throw a good slider.
But Elliot Ramos is worried about what Jung-Hoo Lee is doing, and Jung-Hoo is worried about Elliot Ramos. And so, defensively, I think that's where you've seen a lack of gelling. And also, there's the human part of it, Mark, where Rafi Devers comes to a new city and Adames comes to a new city. There's a certain amount of those adjustments you can't just discount, in my opinion.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll circle back to exactly what Juwan is asking for. Plus, round two of Who Are You? Five players on the 49ers roster you might still be trying to get to know. Five questions on each. How quickly can one of the guys get to the point where they can guess who that player is? We'll do all of that coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
I got the Giants going 82-75.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, he might be right.
Yeah, if they get to 82-75, then
82-75.
They're still in it. If they are 82-75, they got 5 to go. They're still in this thing.
Better win them all. Better win at least 4 of them.
Of the last 5?
Yeah.
Probably, but
I mean, that's like, I feel like, and I don't even know that that would get you in, but you got to do 86, 87, 88 wins. And
that would be 16-7 over the next 23. Counting the 5 you've already won.
Right, okay, yeah.
To get to 82-75.
Right, but then you're not done. Then you got to play 5 more.
Well, that's my point. You'd be 21-7, and then you'd need to go 4-1. You'd need to go 25-8 over the final 33.
Yeah, we're not at final. Yeah, I get your.
I'm counting the 5 they've already won.
Right, but they have 28 left now.
And you would need to go 20-8 to get to 86.
Yes.
And
that's the minimum that they would need to do. I will say that the 5-game win streak has suddenly made that record. That doesn't sound nuts, but it also is. I mean, 20-8 after a 5-game win streak with a whole lot of Dodgers still left on the schedule and all of that. That sounds crazy.
And the Mets are currently playing 537 ball, which is actually an 87 win pace.
Okay.
So if you just, and I know the Mets, they could go out and lose 11 of 12 again, but where the Mets are right now, pacing-wise, they're pacing toward 87, which I don't think that there's a tiebreaker, right? You would play that out. You'd play at 163 to see who the third wild card team would be.
Third wild card team. I
don't think that they do tiebreakers to determine.
I think you're right.
I think they do tiebreaker to determine seeding. Like if you're tied for the first wild card.
I think you're right.
But if it's the third wild card, I do think it'd be a one-game playoff.
Yeah, you got to play it off. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not trying to sell you on anything.
No, there's
three. FanGraphs had him at 1.2% today.
As of today.
To make the playoffs.
Okay.
1.2.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they moved ahead of the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals. That's what this win streak did. They moved ahead of 2 teams by a half game.
Yeah, and it's great.
And then they're 2 back of the Reds and 6 back of the Mets.
Exactly.
So, but like I said, win your next 3 in a row, then you're over 500, we can actually have a conversation. But not until then.
Fair enough.
Not until then.
Yeah. So, other than to say, if you missed it, Randy Rodriguez is going to undergo Tommy John surgery to repair the UCL in his elbow, and we'll see him in 2027.
I think that is bummer news, so I would like to have some fun. Would you like to have some fun? Can we go ahead and do round 2 here?
Yeah.
Of who
let's only
are
have
you?
Fun if it's at my expense, because that tends to be when it's the most fun.
Who are
that's,
you?
That tends to be how we do it.
Well, then let's cue up the music.
Let's do this. Okay, so just to remind everybody kind of how this game works, who are you? We're getting used to knowing, we're trying to get to know the new 49er roster. So I have compiled 5 player names. I have put together 5 questions about each of the players. The way we do it is that Dibbs, Grandy, and Lucas are all involved with their own personal buzzers. Their buzzers are their own names. They can yell out a name, and then they can answer, who is this player? They get a point if they get it right. Here's the kicker. not the Jake Moody, but here's the kicker. If you guess and you're wrong,
oh no,
you get the guillotine. And that means you are out for that player unless we get to all three of you being incorrect and out, then all three of you get welcomed back in.
And I believe I got guillotined twice on the same player in the first installment.
I believe that is correct. And Grandy was the champion of, yeah, very
hard
good.
To do. And then you guessed that player the next round.
That was so funny. I did it for the entertainment value. If you would have ever seen my Wheel of Fortune episode.
You did it all for the nookie.
I always do it for the cookie.
Okay, Grandy. Yeah.
I actually did that when stick. I was on Wheel of Fortune. I made a couple of joke guesses.
Did you?
Yeah, because when you're in the toss-up, not the toss-up, but in the final puzzle, you have 5 seconds and you can make as many guesses as you want.
Okay.
So one of my guesses was surprise Easter. The puzzle was surprise ending.
Oh.
So obviously we didn't have the E, or we had the E, but not the N-D-I-N-G.
Yeah, I love a surprise Easter.
Yeah, those well, that fun. Thing sneaks up on you.
Yeah, well, I mean.
When's Easter next year?
Sometimes you look for all the eggs, and then 2 months later, you find another egg. That's a surprise Easter.
Yeah. If you're doing real eggs, then that's an egg you're not going to retrieve. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's do this. So here we go. Player number one, 5 questions. Dibs, Grandy, and Lucas all eligible to chime in at any moment. Player number one. In 2027, the day after the Super Bowl will be a holiday, as you've been asking for. It will also be my birthday.
Who are you?
Number two. I weigh less than 200 pounds.
Who are you?
I like this addition, Grandy.
Thanks.
Number three.
Thanks.
I should say that these aren't 5 questions. They're more kind of 5 clues. 5 clues. Number three. I have a daughter who will turn 1 early in the season.
Who are you?
Number four. I played at 2 different colleges.
Who are you?
Lucas.
Lucas.
Let's go Slick Rick, Ricky Pearsall.
A guillotine.
He got kids?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Clue number 5.
Me neither.
Clue number 5. My initials are the same as Marriott.
What?
My initials are the same as Marriott. That is clue number 5.
Dibs? Marriott?
Marriott!
Like the hotel?
Ott.
It's a clue, Grandy. There are multiple ways you can read that. That's why it's a clue. My initials are the same as Marriott. Okay? If neither of you would like to guess, we can go into overtime.
Who are you?
Do it.
All right.
Do that.
Overtime. I once scored 5 touchdowns in a game in college.
Five touchdowns
Someone's
in a game.
Someone's got to guess.
I mean, seriously, you guys are really.
Grandy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Mark
Who
Grandy.
Is Jordan Mason?
What?
Jordan Mason?
Jordan Mason of the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh, sorry. I meant Jordan James.
No, kick him out. Kick him out. Don't let him play anymore.
Jordan Mason.
That's so great.
You mean Jordan James?
Jordan Mason. Jordan James.
Jordan James.
I am out of this one.
Yeah, you are.
Guillotine.
Get up like triple guillotine.
Guillotine. All right. Free guess for Dan Dibley.
Marriott. Huh.
I will go with, because now I'm just going to make them up as I go. I'm a rookie.
Okay. Yeah. Dibs.
Dibs.
Upton Stout?
Guillotine.
So we're back in.
Hold on. Hold on. We first need to point out that Dan Dibley just guessed that a defensive back scored 5 touchdowns in college.
Would be impressive.
Could he not have played offense in college?
Yes, he could.
Is he allowed to?
He's allowed to.
At least I named a guy on the freaking Niners.
I'm just pointing it out.
You go harder on me than you do on
Lucas.
Brandy.
Lucas!
Yeah, it's fair.
This whole thing is just so one-sided.
Let's go to Lucas.
Jordan Watkins.
Point. Lucas Alexander. Lucas won.
Can you explain the Marriott clue to me?
J.W. Marriott.
His really good clue. Actually, J.W., if you know where that comes from, his name was James Willard. James Willard Marriott. J.W. Marriott. Anyway.
And you don't know what he weighs. I mean, he's listed at 196. He could be up to 202, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, you're over here doing higher or lower with information off the internet. Are you
Which
not?
Which are facts.
What, will you want me to drive down there and weigh him? He weighs less than 200 pounds.
You don't know that, but that's fine. J.W. Marriott.
Fine.
I was thinking Great America, G.A.
We're playing Who Are You? This is round two.
We're good at this.
It gets very controversial, and Lucas is leading 1-0. Grandy is the champion. The first time we did this, as we get to know the 49er roster in full as we get ready for a new season. Now, before we launch into player number two, I feel it very necessary to say that you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.